Good morning. Good to see everybody out this morning. I appreciate you being here. And we're going to continue in 1 John chapter 3. Hopefully we'll finish this chapter today. For those of you that have been here, you know we've been looking a lot at the heart and how our heart is what causes us a lot of problems. Many, many problems that we have because of our hearts. But if we can ever get them where they need to be, they're beneficial to us, and God gave them to us for a reason, Brother Darrell. But we got to get them where they need to be before they can really do what we need to do. So it's important to have our hearts right. But we're going to pick back up and read once again, verse 19 down through the end of the chapter. It says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." And that's where we stopped. But verse 22 is where we'll pick up today. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." And so, I mean, really this whole latter part here is about our confidence in God and in what God has done for us and is doing through us. But as we've said, a lot of times our hearts get in our way and we get to the point we don't feel like we can reach God, or we don't think we can get a hold of God. But he gives us exactly what we need to understand here, to know that we know that we know that he hears us. And no matter how we feel, Doug, as I've said, sometimes we don't feel good about it. Sometimes we do feel good about it. But in spite of our feelings, there's some things that we can do to ensure that we know he hears us and that we have confidence with him. We have fellowship with him and all those things, in spite of how we feel. Sometimes we just got to get past our feelings. Just got to get past them. And that's just something that we all deal with. But in verse number 22, let's pick up there again in verse 21. He says, "Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not," in other words, if our hearts are out of the way, if they're not giving us problems, then we have confidence toward God. And he goes on and says, "And whatsoever we ask." What's that word "whatsoever" mean? It means anything we ask. It means whatever. You look that up, it just says that's basically an almost obsolete word for what we use now for whatever. Whatever. Whatever we ask. Now, we understand there are some stipulations where you've got to be before you're asking. And the Bible clarifies that for us, and we'll get there in a minute. But when your heart is where it's supposed to be, which is what we've dealt with, then there comes a point of you get your heart right, then there's no question that whatever you ask. You understand what I'm saying? You've got to get your heart right before that whatever applies. And when your heart's right, Brother Delmer, you'll ask for the right whatever. Problem is, most of us never get to the point of getting our hearts right, so that the whatever we ask is probably not the right thing. So, let's continue on. It says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So we can be confident that the Lord hears us and answers us. Flip over to the next, in my Bible, it's the next page, chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says in verse 14 of chapter 5, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever," there's that word again, whatsoever we ask, "we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." How many of us live in a way that we know when we pray that he hears us and that we're going to get what we pray for? How many of us really live that way? How many of us pray things at times, and when we pray we get done and say, "Lord, you're probably not going to answer, I'm going to pray it anyway. Right? That's the mentality we have a lot of times. But that's not a biblical mentality of prayer. The hard part about prayer is getting your heart aligned with His will. Getting your will aligned with His. When you get your will and His will in the same direction, then there's no problem with your prayers getting answered. It's just getting to that point, Jerry. If you can get yourself to the point where your will aligns with His, and you say, well, how do we find His will? Well, this right here is a real good place to start. And we'll deal with some of that here in just a minute. But we've got to get our hearts where they're supposed to be. But if we get there, we can be assured that He hears our prayers. He does. He promises that He hears us, and He will give us those petitions. But man, got to get that heart where it's supposed to go. Got to get it there. And so we've got to ask according to His will. How do we know His will? The only way I know to know His will is you got to get close to His heart. So you got to get your heart with His heart. That's why the Bible said that David was a man after His own heart. We see all these examples of people in Scripture that God answered prayer after prayer after prayer. Why did God answer their prayers? It's because they had a heart for God. They were seeking after what God wanted. And that's the direction that they prayed. The Bible teaches us that Elijah was a man with like passions as us, right? But he prayed, right? He prayed that it not rain for the space of, what, about 3.5 years? And guess what happened? Didn't rain. Then he prayed again, and it rained. Why do you think the Bible gives us that example? It's because you and I have no different relationship than that. In fact, we're probably closer in our relationship with the Lord than those Old Testament saints were. We've been born into the family, baptized into the family, adopted into the family, married into... I mean, we're as close as you can get to relationship with Christ. So why would we not have so much greater access to the things of God? We do. We just don't live like it. We live like we're poor when we're really rich. That's what it boils down to. But here's what Psalm 37, verse 4 says, verse 4 and 5. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You notice the first part of that? Delight yourself in the Lord, and then He'll give you the desires of your heart. Why is it that if you delight yourself in the Lord that He'll give you the desires of your heart? Because your heart will be right with Him and you'll want the same thing He wants. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That's a promise. The Bible promises us these things. So the question becomes, well, why don't we see our prayers answered? You ever question yourself, why am I not seeing my prayers answered? I prayed. Why did it not come to pass? The Bible says He'll bring it to pass. If I ask according to His will, He hears me. And He give me those petitions, Brother Creston. That's what the Bible says. Is God a liar? No, He's not a liar. It is impossible for God to lie. He cannot lie, the Bible says. So the problem is not on God's end. Once again, it's on ours. So James answers this question of why don't we see our prayers answered? James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 says, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. In other words, you're trying everything in the world to obtain. He says, you fight and war, yet you have not. He said, because you ask not. So one problem is sometimes you're just not asking. But then he goes on to say, he says, you ask. So maybe you are asking. And receive not, because you ask amiss. In other words, you're asking in the wrong direction. You're not asking the right things, that you may consume it upon your lusts. See, the problem lies in our hearts, Brother Doug. It's that, Brother Delmer, we're asking for the wrong things because our hearts are not where they're supposed to be. And we're asking for things that we desire that we lust after instead of what God desires. But if we'll get our hearts right, we'll delight ourselves in Him, we'll get lined up with His will, we'll ask the right things, and guess what'll happen? We'll see our prayers answered. If we never get to the point where our hearts get right, you might as well forget the prayers being answered. It don't happen. Sometimes God does things in spite of us, if you've not figured that out by now. Whether you pray it or not, He's going to bring some things to pass. But the Bible still does say that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. In other words, our prayers have purpose, and they accomplish things. And there are times that in the Bible when people prayed that God did something different because they prayed. Did God know He was going to do something different? Yeah. Do you remember when Abraham besought God because of Lot? He just kept begging and pleading with God over and over. Lord, if you find this many righteous, if you find this many righteous, if you find this many righteous, will you spare the city for that? And God said, if I do, He said, I'll spare them. You know what happened? Abraham's heart was not really so much for the city. His heart was around Lot and his family. Abraham didn't necessarily pray exactly that way, but God knew his heart, and his heart was after Lot. And you know who God saved? God saved Lot. In fact, the Bible says He grabbed him. Those angels grabbed him. Lot wasn't ready to leave. Lot's wife wasn't ready to leave. Those two daughters that come out with him, guess what? Wasn't ready to leave. Them angel had four hands, and best I can tell, every hand had an arm. And they grabbed him. Because who prayed? Because Abraham prayed. Got a hold of him, drug him out of the city. But you know what happened? God still destroyed Sodom. That's not... Abraham wanted God to spare the city. That's what he prayed. But his concern was really Lot and his family. I understand the Scripture. But God answered his prayer. Our prayers change things. They do. But if we want them to change things, we've got to get our hearts where they need to be. Really got to get our hearts where they need to be. So don't be asking because of it's something that you desire unless you know that your desires are aligning with what God desires. And you'll have a lot of prayers answered if you can get your will aligned with His. But that's hard. It just is hard. There are times that God's will are not what our flesh desires. Sometimes God's will is not for you to work where you work. You might be making $250,000 a year, whatever. And God says, that's not the place for you. And you know what? Your flesh says, man, I like making that money. But you start praying about that thing, God may say, this is the wrong place for you to be if you want to be spiritual. You need to get out of here. You might take a pay cut. You understand the problems. Our flesh likes that money. Our flesh likes power, prestige, all those things. I like to be able to, John, go to Walmart and buy what I want to. You do too. We all do. But there may come a time that God's will and your will aren't lined up. And you may be praying for that promotion at work or whatever, and God may be saying, no, you're not getting it. That's not my will. It's not good for you. Because Romans 8:28 is still true. He's going to still work all things together for good to them that love God. Who are the called according to His purpose. He's going to take everything and work it out. And if you're not praying in a way that's good for you, there's a good chance you're not going to get what you want, because God is working things for your good if you're saved. If you love the Lord, you see how all this works together? It's God's sovereignty, it's our will, it's His heart, our will, His will. All that stuff has to get lined up in order to accomplish what needs to get accomplished in our lives. And You can either get somewhere the easy way by aligning yourself with Him and allowing Him to just put you right down where the track where you need to go, or you can choose to do it the hard way like the children of Israel did. You see, there was never a time that those children of Israel were not going to get into the promised land. God had already promised it. It was a done deal. The covenant was made. That was their land. But because they chose to not obey God, there was 10 spies went in and said, "We can't take it." There was 2 that said, "Let's do it. God's on our side." But there was 10 that said no. And because of that, what happened? Instead of being able to go right into the promised land that God had given them, there was a whole generation of people that died in the wilderness because they chose not to do it God's way. They said, "We'll do it our way." God had a purpose and a place for them to be. And they were getting there. Just like Jesus told His disciples, "Go to the other side." There was no question they were getting to the other side. Was there a storm through there? Yeah. Stuff may happen. But when God says it, it's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. But how we get from A to B a lot of times is very dependent on how you and I live. There's no question, Brother Delmer, if you're saved, that you're going to end up, you're predestined as somebody that is a saved individual. You're getting to heaven. No question. But how you get from here to there, everything between, there's a lot of dependence on how you choose to live and whether you want to align yourself with Him or you want to live in continuous in and out rebellion. You see, God's going to get from A to B. He's already promised it. It's predestined. What we do between. I don't know why I'm on that, but it goes along with what we're saying here. We've got to align our hearts with Him if we want to accomplish anything in this life. So that's verse number 22. That's the first part of verse number 22, back in 1 John chapter 3. So he says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing to Him." And so you notice he tags all this. He's talking about our hearts being right and the confidence that we have. And so that's what we've been dealing with, is our confidence in God. But the latter part of verse 22, he starts mentioning these things, His commandments. You see, it's nice to be able to have confidence, but then when he tags it with keeping His commandments, Brother Doug, that gets a little bit sketchy. It's a little bit tougher. In other words, what he's saying is, you can't expect me to hear you if you refuse to hear me. Does that make sense? You see, all we've been talking about calling out on Him, right? But he says, don't expect you to be able to call out on me when you refuse to hear what I say. That's real simple. But that's what he's telling us. See, that word keep, we dealt with this several months back. But I'm going to go back in my notes here to 1 John chapter 2. That word keep, I wrote this definition down. It means to guard or protect. To guard or protect, to hold fast, to hold, not to lose or part with, as to keep anything in your memory or in your heart. To preserve, to retain, to tend, to care for. You get the drift? That's what he's talking about with His commandments. And then it goes on to say to practice. To do or perform, to obey, to observe in practice, not to neglect or violate, but to use habitually. It means continually. Keep it, protect it, guard it in your life. So what he's saying is, if you want me to hear you, you need to hear and obey what I say. You're not going to go out here in the world, and this applies to everybody in here. We can't come in here and get on the altar and pray for something and expect God to hear us. But we go out there and we turn our backs on everything that He says. It will not work. The Bible is still about holiness. We've got to be right. We've got to do right. Am I living right to be saved? No. But because He lives in me, I have a desire to do what's right. And I want to obey His commands. I want to follow His word. I want to esteem it. I want it to be real in my life. And if you're saved, you want the same thing, I believe. Now, there may be part of your flesh that bucks up against that and says, no, I don't want that. But there's something on the inside of every believer that wants to do right. You can't have the Spirit of God on the inside and not want to do the things of God. It don't work. But when He says keep them, that means we've got to esteem them. How do you regard Christ's commands? That's a question. If you're having troubles with your prayers being answered, ask yourself this question. How do I regard God's commands in my own life? That might be the simplest answer for you. You understand, well, I'm living like the devil. No wonder. No wonder I'm not having my prayers. Maybe I ought to fix that. Amen. Let's fix that. Let's go one step at a time. Fix that and see if that's the problem. Pray. God's liable to just answer. Is His will a priority in your life? That's a good question to ask. Do you want the things that God wants for you? Or do you want the things that you want for you? These are questions that we have to ask. If we want our prayers answered, we've got to get all this right. See, John 14:15 said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said. His word is important to him. He esteems it above his name, I reckon. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments aren't grievous. In other words, they're not heavy, they're not burdensome. They're things that we desire to do, that we enjoy doing. I don't know about you, but I enjoy living a life feeling like I'm pleasing the Lord, and I don't enjoy it when I'm not. So if we love Him, it shouldn't be hard to do the right thing, and we should have a desire to please Him. And if living right is a pain to you, you need to check up. Just check up. Figure out, Lord, is something wrong? I imagine it is. I imagine that it is. So just check up. But His commandments, let's keep them. God honors His word. And the thing is, His commandments are a good portion of His word. And so if you want to hear Him, or you want Him to hear you, just start hearing Him. Just hear Him. God said it this way, Matthew 17:5 at the Transfiguration. It says, while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then He tagged it with a phrase. What'd He say? Hear ye Him. Peter, James, John, you want to please me? Here's how you do it. You hear what He has to say. Just listen to what Christ told us to do. It's that simple. So there's an expectation for every believer, that is every person that is born again, to want to do right and to hear what God has to say and honor His commands. That's how you keep from hindering your prayers. You try to honor what He says. So every believer ought to want to follow Christ. But then he goes on and says here in 1 John chapter 3, the very end of verse 22, he says, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So here's the key words there. Those things. So if we want to know what pleases God, we want our prayers answered, we honor His word, and it says, and do those things. There's those two words. So the question is, how many of you have done any research to figure out what those things are? If I want my prayers answered, I ought to probably figure out what those things He's talking about. Right? And so you know how you figure this out? You get right here in this book. And you know how I done it? I got this little app on my phone. I can search words. And I looked up a partial word search for the word please. Brother Christian, that's all I did. Hit enter. And it searched it and found all these places in the Bible where it talks about what God's pleased with. If you don't have that, you go in your old Thompson Concordance. Look it up. Strong's Concordance, yeah. Strong's. I've got a Strong's on my desk. You look it up. You look up that word, it'll tell you everywhere in the Bible that word is. You can go and find every situation. You can look it up. And you know what? It'll tell you what He's pleased with. I'm going to give you some examples today of things that God that we know that we know. You want to do those things that are pleasing to Him, you do these things. No question, He's pleased with them. Okay? So what are those things? I can tell you first, though, one thing that He's not pleased with. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 and 9, it says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So if you're living your life in the flesh, out. No opportunity. No opportunity to please God. Impossible. Got to get out of the flesh. Got to be in the Spirit. So you got to be born again. You got to have the Spirit dwelling on the inside. Got to have the Spirit living your life. Got to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." So if you want to please God, you will not do it in the flesh on your own. You've got to have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside. You've got to be born again. Kevin says it every service. If you're here, you must be born again. If you're praying and praying and praying, you must be born again. You want to see these things work out in your life, you must be born again. It's a requirement. But God's never pleased with a life in the flesh. But I'll tell you something that He's always pleased to Him. We just read the verse, Matthew 17:5. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Guess who He's always pleased with? Jesus. Never pleased with you and my flesh. But He's well pleased with Jesus. Every time. So what do you think that our pleasing God needs to revolve around? Our flesh? It can't, right? It won't work. But if we revolve everything around Him, guess what'll happen? We'll start pleasing Him. But we've got to get to the point where we esteem Christ above flesh. You see how this works? That's how the Bible teaches us. And so He's always pleased with His Son. I'll tell you something else He's still pleased with. The world don't like it much, but God still is real pleased with it. He's still pleased about the preaching of His Son. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe." Guess what God's still pleased with today? He's still pleased with preaching. He doesn't change. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. So Brother Delmer, just keep preaching Jesus. God's always pleased with it. That's just the truth. He's always pleased with Jesus. If you want somebody to preach something different, He's liable to not be pleased with it. But if you come wanting to hear about Jesus, God's pleased with that. When Kevin gets up here and he declares you must be born again and it's through and by Jesus, guess what? God's pleased with that. Sometimes we might not be pleased and our flesh ain't pleased with it, but God's pleased with the preaching about His Son. I'll tell you some other things that He's pleased with. He's pleased with revealing His Son in us. Galatians 1:15-16, it says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen." You know what God likes to do? He likes to reveal His Son in each and every one of us, that we might accomplish something for Him. You see, He reveals His Son in us, and then He has a plan for us to do. And that pleases God to see nothing different than Christ in you making a difference. Makes God real happy. Makes God real happy when Christ sets His abode up on the inside, changes your life, changes your direction, and you start living for Him. Makes God real happy. You want to please God? Just allow Him to reveal His Son in you. But He's pleased to put us in Christ. Look at the book of Ephesians with me, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And this is talking about Christ. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure." His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. So that's His good pleasure, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ. In other words, bring everything into Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ." You see, everything that God's pleased with revolves around one person, and it's always about His Son. If you just stick with His Son, that's where He'll be pleased. Look with me in Philippians chapter 2, just the next book over, Philippians chapter 2, a few pages over in your Bible. He's pleased as we shine the light of Christ. Philippians 2, verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Amen. See, that's what pleases God, that you live a life such that you shine as a light in the world, holding forth the word of truth, this book right here, "that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." So you see where it's all about Christ and what we do for Him. Not only that we shine for Christ, but that we give to the cause of Christ. Look over in chapter 4 of the same book, verse 18. Chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 18. This is Paul talking to them as he's getting ready to close the book, close his epistle to them. He says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God." You know what happened? This church gave to the need of the Apostle Paul. He was the first missionary. That's the one we model after. Guess what this church was doing, Brother Doug? They were sending to his needs. And the Bible says it was a sacrifice, an odor, a sweet-smelling savor, and God was pleased with it. You know what happens every time we do something to support somebody that's out spreading the gospel? Well, it's a sacrifice to God and it's well-pleasing to Him. You'll never go wrong giving to the work of Christ. Never. You'll never outgive God. You'll never... None of those things. You don't have to worry. And in fact, Paul answers it this way. In case we worried about outgiving God, this is where he comes in. In verse 19, this is the application for verse 19 if you ever want to know. You can't pull verse 19 out of context. Okay? I hope you understand that today. We can't just pull verse 19 and say God will supply all your need. If you put it in its context, what's happened, you've got a group of people that has given, and I believe they've given till it hurts for the cause of Christ. And then what happens is Paul turns around and makes him a promise. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus," or by Christ Jesus. He says, if you'll give to the work of Christ, and I'm not here asking for money today, obviously, but if you give to the things of God, you'll never have to worry about having your needs met. He will supply your need. And that's what the Bible promises. So he's very pleased when we give to the cause of Christ. But he's pleased with us just living for Christ. Look at Colossians 1, the next page in my Bible, verse 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So God wants us to increase in our life for Christ. He don't want you to get saved and stay where you're at. He wants you to increase in wisdom, knowledge, in your life looking like Christ wants it to look. He's pleased with that we produce fruit. That's what He desires. That's pleasing to Him. But then he goes on, and we can't please Christ without the next part, that he be preeminent in our life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, we'll read down through 20. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father.
Amen.
You notice that? It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Guess what? You want to please the Lord? You let Christ be preeminent in your life. You see, it pleased God that he be the fullness. That in him dwells the fullness. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, it says. Folks, it pleased God that in him should all fullness dwell. If you want anything of God, you better make sure that you're making Christ preeminent in your life. Folks, we're about through these. Next one, Colossians 3:20 tells, I just threw this one in. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You know something that pleases God? For children to obey their parents. And you know how children learn to obey their parents? Their parents have to teach them to obey. It's hard for me to have a whole lot of confidence in somebody who claims to be a Christian, Brother Jesse, and their children act like banshees, hanging off the ceilings and everything else. It just don't work. You can't have a good testimony and your kids act like nuts. I mean, that's just the way it is. They got to obey. And as Christians, we ought to make our kids obey. I'll come off that for a minute. But I'll mention the rest of these, and I want to wrap this up, and I see they're coming back in. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 teaches us that God is pleased with our sanctification. In other words, making us what we need to be for Christ. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 tells us that God is pleased, that Christ is glorified in us. In other words, that we lift him up. We lift him up to those that were around. And 2 Timothy teaches us that he's pleased that with good soldiers of Christ. He wants us to be a good soldier. You be a good soldier? Hey, buddy. You be well pleased. And he's pleased in Hebrews 11 with our faith in Christ. For without faith, it is what? It is impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 13, he's pleased with God working in us. That's how that epistle starts to come to a close. Is God is pleased with just the work in us. He wants to see a work in us. He don't want us to be a bunch of stagnant Christians. And if you follow this instruction, folks, you can know that you know that you're pleasing the Lord and that you can have your prayers answered. But don't let it be hindered. All right, folks, we'll quit right there. But I appreciate the good intentions or good listening this morning. And it's very important that we try to honor the Lord with our lives if we want anything accomplished for Him. If we want our prayers answered, if we want Him to do things for us in our lives, it's very important that we honor Him with our lives. Folks, we'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray down the hallway.